we have a blended family. My problem is they're all grown, and especially his, will come back for help. I don't know how to get him to say no.
All right. Hey, maybe you can relate. You're in a blended family. It may not be a blended family, but you have adult children who kind of show up on your doorstep from time to time, many times perhaps, and with their hand out asking for help, and you want to help, and yet you wonder if you're really helping them when you're helping them. And so here's the intentional living question for today. Are you ready? Got the smartest people on the planet to answer this. What's the most intentional way for you and for couples listening around the world who love their kids to set the kind of limits with their adult children that will help them grow up? Because they keep coming back asking for help, and you're concerned about irresponsibility and maybe overdoing for your kids. So what's the most intentional way for married couples to set limits with their adult children that keep coming and asking for help, blended family or not? And the phone line is open. Help me build this top 10 list, okay? Let's do this together, helping people listening around the world. I'm Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center. My phone number is 888-888-1717. I think you might be surprised with my first thing I'm going to tell you that I put on my list. You might even disagree with me. I don't know. But before I share that, I want you to hear the rest of that call from Marva, who from Missouri, really sharing her heart with us, wanting some answers. We'd love to have you join in. Let's do this as an intentional living community. 888-888-1717.
My husband and I have been married 27 years, and we have a blended family. He has four children, and I have four children, and they're all about the same age. My problem is they're all grown and out on their own, except that they often, especially his, will come back for help, financial help, or one of them has moved in a time or two, and I don't know how to get him to say no, and me to, I'm pretty much one that can say no, but trying to get him to back me up on saying no is also a problem. So how do we say no to financial help to these 40-plus-year-old children, and also to either buying or giving them vehicles?
Mm, all right. Maybe even the question is, should you say no? Do you always say no? Love to have you join in here on this discussion. Big deal with parents. You have adult children. Blended families in particular have a challenge because you're coming into this marriage and you're going to have maybe a different connection with those kids than if you started out together at the beginning. That makes sense? And so you're looking at maybe your husband or your wife and thinking, no, they're operating out of guilt. They're trying to have their kids like them. And the kids are coming back and, well, the guilt gets laid on the parent and all of a sudden it's being overdone. Join in. How do you handle this? How do you be intentional as a married couple, maybe blended married couple, to set limits with adult children that keep coming and asking for help, and you kind of know in your gut that it's not really helping them? 888-888-1717 is the number. We'll get you on. Let me tell you, we're going to build this top 10 list. And the first thing on the list is get on the same page. I would rather have you both in a blended family be wrong and in agreement and botching it up together, okay, than for one of you to be right, at least you think you're right, right? And then later say, I told you so. You know, I told you so. And so behind closed doors, get on the same page. Now, we certainly would like to have you do this the right way, and we're going to give you some thoughts today, and people are going to join in from all around the country, I'm sure, to say, hey, here's how I handled this. Here's how it should be handled. Maybe, I would love to hear from some of you, maybe you were the adult son or daughter, and you're now old enough to look back with some maturity to say, hey, this is what mom and dad did right or wrong when I kept coming back. And listen, you love your kids. You want to help. If you can't help your family, who in the world are you going to help, right? And so the attitude is you want to help your kids, but I'd maintain you're not always helping them. when you're weakening them. You know, you're stepping in, doing for them something they need to do for themselves. So on my list, get on the same page, especially in blended families. This is true for all couples, but if you're in a blended family, listen, you guys are asking for a nightmare in your marriage if you're not on the same page about helping your adult sons and daughters. Well, that's my son, that's my daughter, and that's what I'm going to do. You can win that battle, sir or ma'am, and you can lose the war in your marriage, bottom line. So I'd rather have you both get behind closed doors and compromise and maybe later say, well, we could have done it differently, but at least we did it together in agreement than not to agree and go to war, one of you thinking you're right and the other one's wrong. Phone number is 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Love to have you join us. Let me go to Wisconsin. Loretta, tell us what you've learned with your
experiences. My husband and I have a blended family. He married me with three children, and they came from two different fathers, and I was the only believer for a long time, and it was very difficult. After him almost divorcing me because I was a Christian, he is now a Christian himself and an awesome man of God. But don't give up in prayer. You may be the reason you're in your husband's life will be to save him.
Mm. Well, that brings up a whole nother point, Loretta. I think it's important if you're married, especially in a blended family, and you're not on the same page, not only about money and about helping the kids, but spiritually, man, that can be a dynamic that really can drag you down. And so it's a good reminder. That's why I come back to this thing of getting on the same page. If you want to have a ministry to your unsaved spouse that you love and care for, you're not going to do it by trying to prove that you're right, because you can be right and win that battle, but lose the war, frankly, for their soul and for the benefit of your marriage. And so there's some battles that are worth picking, other battles that are not worth picking. But above all else, getting on the same page is a way of building intimacy, at least in my view. Come and join us. We'll get to your calls in a moment as you're joining us at 888-888-1717 right here at the Intentional Living Center.
Intentional love can transform a marriage.
We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first, and that has really made a difference.
Natasha and her husband have experienced firsthand the power of intentional living. Put the power of intentional love to work in your marriage. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Every time worry strikes, do this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Did you know that 40% of Americans report being more anxious today than they were 1 year ago? And when you're anxious, here's one thing you can do. Just breathe. Did you know in the book of Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's a beautiful picture for those of us who may struggle with anxiety. Can I encourage you to do this one thing? Breathe in God's intentional love and then breathe out the worry that you're carrying today in your life. Practice that every day. Maybe make it a time that's set for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes every day just to breathe and enjoy God's presence. When you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
And you know, the Intentional Living Minutes on video, it's available right to your email every day. We'll send it to you Monday through Friday. You can sign up today by going to theintentionallife.com/minute. We'll get that to you. Also, that date night you just heard mentioned, we just started promoting this, Phoenix and Tucson. I know not everybody in the country is nearby, but you know what? We find in our date night, some people say, hey, well, let's take a date and let's fly to Phoenix or let's fly to Tucson. Let's be a part of this. We'd love to have you come and be a part of it. It's a Love Your Marriage date night coming up in November. Beautiful time in sunny Arizona. November 8th and 9th, two different nights in the Phoenix area, different parts of town, in Mesa and in Glendale. That's coming up November 8th and 9th. And then November 16th, that's a Sunday evening, in Tucson at Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. Tickets are available today. You can get Gold Circle or general admission. Bring some friends with you. We're just going to celebrate marriage. We're going to enjoy marriage. We're going to talk about the fun stuff of marriage, some of the challenges of marriage. I'm going to give you the top 10 list of what separates really successful marriages from less successful marriages. And in the process, I think you'll smile and laugh along the way. So get your tickets today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. This is the topic today. We're talking about the calls have been coming in from blended families, but also from other couples who are just saying, we love our kids, they're grown, but man, they just keep coming back and they're not being responsible and they're just not growing up and we don't know how to cut the strings and we want to do the best thing for our kids and it can create guilt. And I've talked to people over the years who want to do this and do it well, but later look back and say, "But I didn't do it as well as I wanted to." So what would you do? I guess the question we've thrown out to you today from Intentional Living to think through is, what's the most intentional way for that you've learned or experienced for couples to set limits with adult children that'll help them grow up and at the same time maybe stop coming back so much and so often? Okay, let's start with Cindy. Cindy, welcome to the program today. What's your one thing today?
My one thing would be that you have to be on the same page as husband and wife, the parents.
Now, is this something you faced in your marriage?
Yes, it has. We've had my daughter and son-in-law with their baby had to move into our house because our baby granddaughter had spent 8 months at the University of Michigan Hospital, and so we were dealing with she was waiting for a heart transplant,
wow.
And I'm going to tell you this, God healed her heart.
Amen.
Because of them being gone so long, they lost their apartment, they came and lived with us for a year and a half until they were able to find a home, and the biggest thing is with that was, I didn't raise my son-in-law, and so you're dealing with different things, and it's kind of like sometimes they'll throw you for a loop, but at the same time we all left on really good terms, we're close still, but the biggest thing was my husband and I being together,
yeah,
and being able to share in our bedroom, you know, and talk things through and stuff like that. And then when it comes to the kids coming back to us for money, that's happened as well. We had five children, and they have all had to, and they're all married, and they've had to go through different struggles financially and stuff. And, you know,
well, so what do you do when they come back and they say, hey, Mom or Dad, I need some help? How do you decide to do or not do?
Well, sometimes we have to say no. But other times we've said yes. And you look at you have to judge each different situation.
Yeah.
Are they really doing all that they can? You don't want to enable them.
Yeah, and I think that's a key, Cindy, because we can overdo, and there's a point where we weaken someone. I mean, you think about your muscles are built by straining and by using them, but if you go and pick up the weight for somebody else, in the long term, that can weaken them. And so knowing that balance, you're right on, Cindy, is a key. All right, thank you, Cindy. Got to move on. Let's go to New Mexico. Anne, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm doing great. You know, we're talking
good.
About, you know, when kids come back, what's your one thing
right.
What works or at least you hope works?
After you're on the same page, assuming that you've gotten on the same page, again, like Cindy said, each situation is different. It might be a medical thing or whatever, but we ask to see their budget.
Oh.
What are you doing to curb your spending? What are you doing to put money aside?
Now, wait a minute. You actually said, hey, I want to see it. Bring it here, and I want to see how this is going to help or not help.
Yes.
How did
exactly.
they? How old are the kids?
They're in their late 20s.
And how did they respond to that?
We haven't had the problem. Oh, they were fine with that. Oh. They were fine with that. They want the encouragement to understand how to set up a budget. And the other thing that we have offered is to pay for a financial class for them if they want.
That's good.
And it's not they know it's not going to be an ongoing thing to give them money just whenever. But if it were an ongoing thing where I've got some friends that have that, I would suggest to them that they put a deadline on it. All right, 6 months from now, we can't help you guys anymore. But in the meantime, we'll pay for a financial class for you, Financial Peace University, whatever.
Sure. See, what you're doing, and
maybe they just haven't been taught.
Yeah, what you're doing is you're being proactive. You're not just. This is one of the things that in fact, the book that's releasing later this month and in October on hijacked emotions is one of the reasons we get hijacked emotions is we got to declutter our life of this stuff. I mean, we get emotions in our family sometimes because why are they doing that? And you're being very proactive. And that's one of the ways we deal with our emotions is saying, hey, I love you. And if our helping you is going to help you progress in your life, we can see your budget. We'll help you with a financial class. We'll help you for 6 months. You're putting some limits. You're staying in charge of what you're going to do. The expectations are very clear that there's a limit and there's a deadline. Now, let me ask you, did it work?
Pardon me, say that again?
Did that work?
Yes. Matter of fact, we've only had to do it a couple of times, and they want to pay us back for the money. It wasn't a large sum, but it's in their plan to pay us back in some kind of increments. Now, we haven't actually set a promissory note or anything like that. It is verbal, but there's a trust issue because they didn't want to ask in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's good they're doing that.
To them to ask, yeah.
I think the thing that can be dangerous with that is that if they're unable to pay or don't pay back, then you got a whole nother issue. And I always tell parents, if you're going to loan money to your kids, to have an expectation you're ever going to see it again, come on now. You may, and that's an added blessing. If they give it back, fantastic. But it better in your own mind to write that baby off so it doesn't become an issue later on when and if it doesn't happen. So to be able to say, hey, if that's fine, if you're able to do that someday, fantastic. If not, consider it our help to help you get down the road here a little bit. What do you think? The question started with Marva, who asked, what do we do? 27 years of marriage. My husband keeps helping his adult children. He won't say no, which raises the question, what's the most intentional way for couples to set limits with adult children that keep coming back and asking for help? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. How have you handled it? What works, what doesn't? 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to get away to get close to God's creation. Book your cabin now for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Breathtaking destinations and beautiful scenery await you on this unforgettable travel experience. Enjoy spiritual renewal and build lifelong memories. Join my wife Donna and me for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. To book your cabin, go to theintentionallife.com. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, says this. He says, be angry, but do not sin. In other words, Paul is telling us the emotion of anger is okay. It's a part of life, but not the sin, which is a very interesting thing. How in the world can we be angry? Is there a sinless anger? Wow, there's a question, and I answered that in this month's teaching on managing your emotions. It's a month we're focusing on emotions with the release of my new book on freedom from hijacked emotions. But this teaching on CD is our gift to you as you step up and help us with this ministry to continue ministering to people with this life-changing, powerful message of intentional living. Members, it's automatically on its way to you very soon. You don't need to call for that, but for those who would share a gift this month and request it, we'll get it to you. It's part one of a two-part series. The other part will come up in a couple of months. Managing your emotions. When you become a monthly member, by the way, in monthly support, you'll receive this teaching automatically, along with every month a brand new one. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We got some smart people today sharing some good stuff. If you've got an adult son or daughter and they keep coming back and they're being a little irresponsible and they're asking for help and you want to help, but at the same time, you know there's limits, The points have been good. Stay on the same page. Ask to see their budget. I think that's a great idea. Just be really practical. Hey, I'm happy to help you, son or daughter, but let me see your budget. Let me see the plan. Let me see what you're doing. And then to help pay for a class, get them into a class, a financial class, learning how to be intentional with their finances. What have you found that works for you? That's what intentional living here. What's the most intentional way to do this? 888-888-1717. Mindy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Appreciate it. What's your one thing for this question today?
So I'm actually from the opposite spectrum of this discussion.
So you're the child.
I'm the child.
Okay.
So my father was an amazing dad when I was growing up, and he was so supportive of me. And when I graduated high school and started college, he met a woman and ended up getting married for the second time. Mm-hmm. When he did that, when he found her, he stopped talking to all of his kids.
Wow.
He also
How did you feel when dad just cut you off in communication?
I felt super hurt because I loved him. He's my rock. I always looked up to him as a pillar of my faith because he showed me how to live my life as a Christian. And to not have that example in my life anymore and to have someone that I love so much just disappear from my life was extremely painful.
Did that rock your faith?
It did.
How you doing with that now?
I mean, I came back to the Lord this year, actually.
Oh.
Listening to sermons every Sunday with my Christian boyfriend, picking up a prayer life.
Good.
I'm actually working on writing a book about my experiences.
Wow.
But it's been rough.
Well, listen, you're taking it, you're being intentional, you're taking one step at a time, you're letting God move in your life. You're not allowing what someone else did, even though you loved him or respected him, had him on a pedestal, to impact the choices you're making today about how you're living your life. So we'll be praying with you. Now, I know you called about this coming back to dad. Was this an issue in talking to your dad about needs that you had?
I mean, I have confronted him on a couple of occasions and so have my sisters to try to reestablish our relationship, and all that we expect is what Christ himself expects is an apology and admission of what he did, but he just won't do it. He won't admit his wrong and he won't apologize. Mm.
Well, Mindy, you sound like a strong, growing spiritually young woman. And if you've listened to intentional living at all, you know, one of the things that we just sort of keep on the table, face up, is this little formula that whenever we have an expectation that doesn't get met, it always creates a level of hurt and disappointment in our life. In fact, when I just came down, I was writing an article about this very issue, about our emotions, about adjusting those expectations. And my guess is that's one of the things you've probably needed to do as you grow your faith, to realize your expectations ultimately not met can really get you in the ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask, how can we pray for you, Mindy? I think people saying, hey, this young woman's getting on with her life. And what's the one prayer request that you'd have for us that we can remember you about?
Well, that my faith would become stronger and that my dad would realize what he's done and just come around and be a dad to me and my sisters again.
Mm. Well, listen, we got people right now who are prayer folks, prayer type warriors, who are going to be praying for you all around the country, Mindy. And we add to that in Jesus' name today. Thank you, Mindy. Appreciate your call. We got Terry. Let me get Terry on the line here.
Hi.
Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're talking about what do you do when young adults keep coming back for help? What's your one thing?
Well, first of all, you should pray.
Is this something you faced in your own life?
Oh, yes, many times.
So how have you handled it after you pray? What do you do? I mean, do the kids come and ask for help and you, what do you do?
Well, I have four daughters and they're all different. and their situations are all different. I've agreed with them, many of your callers, and I never let them just have the money. I always make them work for it, and it depends on what it is.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things, you know, to be specific, but what kind of things do your kids ask for?
Well, let's go with my youngest daughter. She definitely needs a lot of prayer. She'll be 21 in October, and she does not know how to manage money. No matter how many times we go back and teach her how to use her checking account, she always gets overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, what are you doing? You know, and
yeah, but do you step in then when she overdrafts and she says, hey, I need, you know, $100 or whatever? Do you just give it to her?
No.
So what do you do?
We make her work for it. I mean, we don't just give it to her. Yes, we do bail her out so she doesn't keep getting higher draft fees, but we do make her work
for it. So she has something to do to earn it, basically.
Oh, yeah. We make her go to grandma's and pull weeds or mow the yard, wash windows.
Well, it's good.
You name it.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, you're holding her accountable. You know, young people, they got people listening today. I think our educational system does a great disservice to young people today. We're not teaching young people how to manage money. I mean, we got such a, the stats are staggering. The number of people who have nothing, they don't have any emergency fund at all. And listen, it's a little bit over an extended period of time. You can sit down and plug into a financial calculator, even what a buck a day. Someone who's listening who's got this, would you plug in what $5 a day with, let's say, 5% interest? If you were to put $5 a day with 5% interest, and for a 25-year-old kid, young person, kid to me, 25-year-old young person, if they were to do that for 40 years until they're age 65, how much money would we have? $5 a day, 5% interest, that's what, one of those coffee drinks? I mean, come on, we waste $5 a day easily, many people. $5 a day, 5% interest, 40 years. Somebody post that. Put it on my Facebook, which I'd love to do the math, make sure you've done the math right, and post it. And it's going to be staggering what that amount would be in 40 years. All right. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, this has been good. We got us thinking about how to be intentional with our adult sons and daughters. We love them. We want the best for them. But remember, whenever we do for someone something that they are capable of doing for themselves, we always weaken them. And that's really the message of intentional living today. We want to strengthen our kids. So sometimes you have to be tough. You have to just say no and setting limits. I hope some of the things shared today have been helpful for you. Thanks to the team. Thank you, Amy, Stephen. Thank you, Kurt. And thank you, Rob. This is Randy Carlson. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.